Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with the Pilgrims of Deep Run, a really, really cool band with a really interesting sound.
We got quite a different sound, if you will, for this evening, man.
A little bit.
You're right. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
So I reached out, man. I won't give names. I want him to introduce himself, but I saw him selling some things on Facebook Marketplace, and the pieces that he sold me, the name is what really caught me. Cause I've never seen anything, no kid or anything like that. So that's the first thing that caught me. So I hit him up, man, went over, met him, man, we just got to talking, you know, and then he told me about the music and everything. So it's only fitting. So, let's start. Y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves and take it from there.
Yeah. So my name is Pete Kretchnit. We're with the Pilgrims of Deep Run. That's our Irish band. But I was selling Tez some drum gear, the Dixon Demon made by Dixon. But it was like an old kit, man. And I love that kit. I was really glad that you wanted it because, you know, it was Birch kit, light. Anyway, love that kit. It was beat up from gigging. And it was good to meet Tez. And we got to talking. And he was like, got a podcast. Come talk about your weird Irish band. And I was like, all right, I'm down. So I brought Diego in, you know?
that would be me. I'm Diego. I also play in the weird Irish band. I gotta say, though, this like Dixon Demon, like the thing that always stuck out to me was always in a corner. It is never set up, right? If you can see, like, the man's got two drum kits set up behind him right there, right?
Couple over there, you know?
Yeah. He's got drum kits like out the wazoo. This one was never set up, but this had the biggest bass drum I'd ever seen. Like, I could fit in it. It's so big.
That's not saying much. You're like 5 feet tall. No.
I'm 5'7", you asshole.
Have we heard the name of your weird Irish band yet?
Yeah, so we're the Pilgrims of Deep Run, which is a small creek.
I just needed an excuse to hit the super long cheering button.
Good. No, keep coming. Bring it on. Yeah. Make it louder. Let's go. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming out, you know.
Wow, it is really long.
I
think it's forever.
I want to thank my mom and
the Academy.
The Academy, yeah.
Gentlemen, good night. Thank you for coming out. Good night. Nah, so explain to the peeps. Give your best idea of what your style of music is. Don't just go Irish folk, to go like get into it.
Yeah. So like, so I grew up with this kind of music, and they started the band. Diego can talk about how it started because I was the last person to join. But you know, they were doing Irish traditional music, like dances, jigs, reels, hornpipes, like all this stuff that is dance music, but you have to know how to do it, you know. It's not like, I mean, you can just bounce around, which is mostly what we get, but they were just playing it, and they were playing them fast, like they were burners, man. It was great. And and I was like, this is good, but if we ever want to play out, we got to do a couple songs, and none of us are really singers. Well, Diego was, but so we started singing these pub songs. We were just choosing the most raucous fast energy drinking tunes we could choose. And, you know, like, that's what we always say. This song's a drinking song. The next song's a drinking song. Every song you're hearing is a drinking song. The bar's right there. You know, the more that's you true. Drink, the better we sound. Yada, yada, yada. Classic stuff. And that's gotten us, we've only been running a little over 2 years. But, you know, we just finished our run at Maryland Ren Fest.
Ah, shit. What days you guys play the Ren Fest? I was just there.
Oh, shit. We were there just this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And we were there two weekends in September.
Labor Day weekend, the weekend after, so what's it, 9, 10, and then, yeah, October 14, 15. All these dates are burned in my head.
did you guys play the pub or the amphitheater?
So we played both pubs. We played the White Hart Tavern and the Boar's Head Tavern. So we were on both the pub stage. Because like I said, they're all drinking songs. And the Renfest was like, put them in the bar.
Yeah, the pubs get wild, dude. Especially later in the day, they get really, really wild. Yeah,
dude, we just played a hit at the one Boar's Head, and normally people like the songs, but this place was like, stop singing, play fast music. And so we were just playing as fast as we could, and Diego's like, my fingers are falling apart. We got to do a song. I need a break.
Yeah, I was chopping out, which is like you guys don't know us, but like the one person who will not chop out in this group is me. Like I'm actually I play mandolin in the group, but like I'm a guitarist and I just love shredding. Like not in the metal sense. I'm a jazz player, but like I'm the guy who can just play for hours. Like, and I won't stop. And I'm looking over at Pete like, I can't keep up anymore, bro. Like we need to do a song. My fingers are about to give out.
But the crowd loved it. Like I forgot to try to sell merch. I forgot to announce who the hell we were. Like they were just like, keep going, do another one. They were dancing in the rain because the weather was horrible.
The dude,
some guy did
the worm
almost into another child.
Yeah. what else? Oh, there was just people like lifting others onto their shoulders. There's basically crowd surfers in this
Renfair
tavern
to Irish music, which you play the sample later, you're gonna be confused. We were confused.
Dude, I love Renfest. I've been going for like 4 years, which isn't a ton given, but like consistent most of the years that for 3 years running, I've been on mushrooms while at Renfest, which is even better, by the way, because then you can kind of LARP an extra dimension into it. So that's always given. And man, it's just, if you make it past like 3 o'clock, once you get up to like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it just really is just wild up there.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun.
And this was our first time. So like the average attendee, like this was my first year, really, I went one time before. So the average attendee is outdressing us by miles.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Oh yeah.
Like, for sure.
Like, yeah. They were like, you can't wear jeans. You know, like it's your first year. You don't have to have full period appropriate clothing, but no jeans. So we all come in these like Amazon bought tunics.
Sure.
And we're like, we're pilgrims, right? So we can be poor. And the average person who was just walking by is just like corsets and daggers and horns and Viking armor. And we were like, I can't believe we're on stage and they're in the audience. You know, hey,
we were level one characters. Okay.
That's true. Yeah. We had completed zero missions. Yeah. For sure.
What you can do, which I've seen every year I've been, is there's always your random Star Wars cats. For some reason, Star Wars is included in like the Renfest universe. Yeah, so you guys could totally be like stormtroopers or like Wookiees or something. Like, just shock them with some kind of subgenre of LARPing.
Doctor Who also. There's always Doctor Who,
steampunk Doctor Who for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Pete, did you and I talk about the Mandalorian?
I saw him. Yeah, the Maryland bounty hunter. Yeah, the Maryland.
There was a Mandalorian, but dressed in all Maryland garb, because Maryland's not a state; it's a cult.
Yeah.
So like this dude is head to toe, just Mandalorian Maryland. It was so good.
Star armor.
So he was Maryland DeLorean, huh?
Yeah, Mandalorian.
I dig that.
It's
man.
So good.
Is it? I went for the first time last year. That was a one and done for your boy.
Yeah, I hear
what? You didn't go with me, dude. That's why. You should have came with me. We could take some mushrooms.
I don't think that you would have controlled the amount of people that were there.
Oh, it was only so loud.
You got people shocked. Yeah, you got people shocked. Too many.
Depends on the weekend, honestly. Like the first weekend we played, not too bad. Actually,
it was 100 degrees out. It was hot as hell.
Yeah, it was hot as hell.
Nobody made it to 3 o'clock except
October,
the people who were paid to be there.
Oh, yeah. October, though, is awful in terms of the amount of people. It like tripled in size between September
and
October.
Which is great when you're on stage and no one can come up there.
It's getting ready to end, right? It ends in October, right?
Yeah, but also the weather's just better. But I should say that this is not our normal gig. Our normal gig is breweries, bars, and festivals. Like, we are, I guess, in a sense, preserving the folk music of it because we're still playing the songs, but we're not like, we don't dress up in Maryland, in like old-timey clothes. We just show up and play, and people are like, why are these young guys into it? And we're like, we're not as young as you think we are. You're just, you're not just as old. Young as you think yeah. you are either.
Zing.
I've never been in a band where the target demo is like 80.
Oh, yeah. Until now. This is it, bud.
Target
this
demographic. Friend came out to one of our gigs the other day. I won't say which one. And they were like, there's a lot of old white people here. And I was like, yeah, that's our shit. Crowd.
That's our scene.
We're real big in the 80 plus. Yep. We got a few years of a good crowd.
Man, the all white crowds are hard. They're hard to be a part of.
As long as they don't clap on 1 and 3, I'm okay with it.
Dude, yeah. I leave. I have to leave. Because I can't take it. It's like nails on the chalkboard. Yeah, well, completely missing the beat. They rewrite the beat.
But Tez, we were playing to the all white metal crowd, which is a whole different thing. But you know, like that's
yeah. But also,
too, can of worms.
I had Reza with me, so no matter what,
two browns.
It was two of us. Yeah,
we did have two browns. It was a two brown band.
Yeah, so did you just stop playing and leave? They started clapping on 1 and 3. You're like, I'm done.
No.
It was metal. They weren't clapping.
Yeah. No, Tez always killed the set. But like before and after the set, he might be there, he might not be there. You know, like Tez was real quick in and out of just depends on the mood.
So real quick, nerd question: if you were to clap along to metal, where would it be? Because you know it's actually slow music played with like all these really slow, fast notes, right? So would it be like 1, 2, 3, or would it be with every eighth note? Pete, help me out here.
It's the headbang.
Made it difficult.
It's the headbang, man. It's just the one. That's it. It's just. You really clap.
The backbeat on the 2 and 4, though.
Well, that would be the backbeat, right? The backbeat in most music is on the snare. In jazz, it's on the hi-hat. And in metal, it's in the neck, right?
Like if you big music nerd question.
But if you clap at metal, you clap all four. Metal's always a.
See, but that feels too fast to be clapping along.
The build up thing.
That's the clapping long part. That's when like they're like, yeah. let's go. But like, what Diego was saying, like if you was just a, you know, if there was a metal song on, right, and you just
where would you put it?
Thank you
for translating.
Picture our crowd at a metal show, just being like, oh, this is lovely.
Yes,
it would be like
thrown off. Yeah, everybody's off. Like,
you might knee slap at 1 and 3. You might knee slap the one.
You gotta go at like 3/8 or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's different. That's a good question, man.
Just, I don't know, Jay. Snare, you know? Dude, Jay, you're a singer, man. When did you clap as a singer? Like, how did the singer clap? Whatever.
I mean, like what Tess said, the only time I ever clapped was like building up to a breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was always
I'm with
you.
You're
like, I was like,
yeah. It's a build up clap. It's a build up.
I love that I've derailed this whole podcast.
Where anybody's church clapping on a mess. Like, like,
what? But now you want it.
Yo.
Jesus. Yo, I want that now. I would love to see that show one time.
Yeah.
I would love to see half of that show.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There are some metal drummers in church. I've seen the TikTok videos of the metal drummers in church, and
they're so good.
It exists. Tez has seen it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Tez.
Those paying gigs, you know.
They're just feeling the Lord, bro.
They're feeling the Lord, but they're just like killing these drums hits, man.
That is a promised money. That's what that is.
I'm going to say they're getting paid.
They're getting paid?
I've done those church gigs, man. Yeah. Some of them pay.
Yeah. They pay really well when they pay. Yeah. Either they pay nothing or they pay well. There's no in between for church gigs.
The ones that broadcast pay.
Better.
If they've got a recording crew and a camera guy dedicated to just the drummer, drummer's getting paid.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
Guaranteed.
For sure.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
Man, so we we got way off topic.
Just some knowledge, yeah.
Next question, because you said Diego was in the band.
Yeah, Diego, you take it. Tell them about how the band started.
Okay, the lore of the Pilgrims, as my cousin said the other day. So it's this is really funny actually. So the Pilgrims of Deep Run were born from a completely different band. That our violinist Basil and our one of the original members who was on banjo.
Say that again. Wait, say that again.
Basil, like as in like Basil, but Basil is how it's pronounced.
That's his real name.
That's his real name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Irish.
It's spelled like Basil.
It is spelled like Basil.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. It doesn't piss him off ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
He loves that. Yeah.
It's like my boy Seaweed, bro.
So like with a name like Basil, where do you expect him to be from? I'm actually curious.
Basil.
I'm going with Italy.
Okay.
All I ever thought of was like Charlie's Angels, you know, like, ooh, Basil.
Yeah, I'm thinking like UK or like Netherlands or something like that. Yeah.
So the reason I ask is that could still vaguely be, you know, especially with the UK, somewhat related to Irish music. No, the man's Russian.
Russian.
Yeah.
Basil.
Yeah.
Basil. Yeah.
That's why it's so strange.
That's why he was born playing violin.
I just find it very interesting where his name comes from, because it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I would have thought he was Irish or English or something like that when I first met him.
Yeah, I'm on stage. I'm like, Peter, that's Irish. Okay. This is Diego, definitely Irish. And Basil, super Irish. Like, we're all very, you already listened to the show. Suck it.
Anyway, I'm getting off top again. So it was Nate, the banjo player, who our original banjo player, he's no longer with the band. He's just got too busy. Life does that to you, doesn't it? But Basil and I, we used to be in a completely different band, playing indie jazz pop. So one day that band essentially just dissolves. It dissolves overnight. The three of us still met every week just because we came to be good friends. Like, the band just wasn't happening anymore. One day, Nate just walks into our jam session and he's like, "Do you guys want to play Irish music next week?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And I show up to the next rehearsal and he no longer has his drum kit. He was a drummer of that band. He now has a banjo, and Basil didn't bring his bass. He brought a fiddle. And I was like, "What's happening?" And they both just start playing an Irish tune, like at ridiculous tempos. And I was
"You're playing guitar, right? You're still playing guitar at this point."
Yeah, I'm still playing guitar with this band, and I didn't know we were playing Irish music. I thought it was a joke.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
He's like, they both pull out these instruments and they just start ripping on them, and I'm like, "Oh, we're serious about this." So I happen to own a mandolin. I guess I'll bring that next time, and I'm just like teaching myself to learn the mandolin, and this was all in like January and February of 2020. The band kind of like finally is ready, and March comes along and boom, pandemic. So we had nothing to do, you know, for a long time. And then 2021 rolls along and we start playing again, and we just kind of decide to add in this guitar player that we know. His name's Todd. And then what I was like, "Oh, you know what? It'd be cool to have like that drum that they use sometimes." Who owns one of those?
Yeah.
Pete. And that's about it. Like, I thought it was a joke. And then a year later, these two guys come in, and then we're just rehearsing twice a week, every single week for like 4 or 5 hours, because who else had anything? Like, what else did we have to do, right? It's like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had to meet outside with masks on, distancing, and we're just shedding these Irish traditional tunes and just trying to get them as fast as we can get them.
Yeah.
Tez, how many COVID bands we got now, bro? Like, most of the bands we're talking to are COVID
all
bands.
All of them.
It's crazy. Yeah, dude. Like, everyone we talk to, including ourselves, got together like kind of during COVID and kind of
always has another band folded. Like, everyone else's bands folded during COVID. Yeah. And then everyone just was like, Phoenix from the ashes.
I mean, we folded like our Phoenix crashed like about 10 years ago. we like had kids and then they kind of grew up on us. So then we're like, okay, we should do some dad rock shit, you know? Yeah.
And then we started gigging out. getting our gig chops up, and now we're playing out at least once or twice a month, and real heavy in September because of Ren Faire, and real heavy in March for obvious reasons. But yeah, anywhere people like to drink, we can pretty much gig, and that's not very limiting.
So I don't know if I missed it or not, but the background. So like most guys I know have like a bass or a drum kit, or me, I have like a bunch of amps and guitars, whatever. You guys are like trained musicians, I'm getting the feeling, because who has mandolins and banjos and like these weird drums like laying around? Like you guys like, oh yeah, we're doing jazz, pop, indie, but you know what? Next week we'll be just be Irish. Like you guys have some training.
Yeah, that's
sure.
That's the funniest thing. So yeah. So I have a degree in percussion, a bachelor's degree in percussion performance, but like basically concert percussion with a little bit of jazz thrown in. Diego has a degree in jazz from Towson. And the banjo player who started the band has a degree in euphonium, which is like the baby tuba, right?
The baritone.
So that makes no sense, right? And our guitarist, he's in this band, he's basically just chucking cowboy chords, but he has a degree in classical guitar, a master's degree in classical guitar.
So you are all graduates of instruments.
And we're spending our time playing folk music, where normally it's like I got off the ship and I picked up an instrument at the bar and started playing. And so we're totally ass backwards on the intent of what this music is supposed to be. We're taking it way too seriously. But the funny thing about this band is we all have degrees, except not in what we're playing in this band. This is the...
That wouldn't make sense playing what you have a degree in.
Why would you waste all that time getting that degree?
School's out, dude. Right. Play something else. You know?
Exactly.
For sure. Like, no, honestly, I'm with you on that.
There's something beautiful about that, honestly, the way that the band came about, because nobody actually plays these instruments or this music. Like Basil and Nate, I mentioned that they kind of just started tearing through this one tune in front of me, and it's because they had done it for a friend's wedding. Basil actually learned how to play the violin at a very young age, so he just always knew how and just never revealed it to us. but so they did it for a friend's wedding, so they knew how. But like for the most part, we just all kind of learned how to do this on the spot. Like we all kind of knew how to play the instruments. We all had kind of listened to the music. And because of that, it ends up with like, I don't know, at least for me, something kind of unique where it's like, it's not the thing that I've been training to do for the past 20 plus years. It's like just taking that skill set and then applying it somewhere else and being able to explore like, you know, a whole new aspect to music that where I don't necessarily even have to turn on that like, that all that training brain.
And we take it way too seriously. Like we have all of these, we've got all these arrangements where it's like, all right, and then we'll do a hard stop and just the mandolin and the baron come in and they'll play together. And then the fiddle will come in because this is a song about a fox and they're like the fox and they're coming in. And like, no, normally people just get together and play the tunes and we're like, let's make a story out of it. Let's make this way too complicated. That way, when we mess it up, we can feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah. Jay and Tez, these dudes are so different than what I thought they were going to be from listening to their tunes on Bandcamp, man. Like, this is way different. We'll get to it later, but I got a batch of questions for you guys, which are going to be hilarious now, and we'll see why.
Yes.
Oh, good. What I want to know is this. So, like, dude comes into practice one day and says, hey, do you want to do Irish next week? Did you ever like, and now that you've stuck with it, like why? Did you ever find out why? Was there a reason or was it just like dude got a wild hair up their ass and now you're playing Irish music?
A wild red hair, by the way. Yeah, no, definitely dude, a wild red
a
hair.
A wild
yeah.
rover red hair.
I can't sell that enough. Like it's honestly, it really just was, he liked the music and wanted to do it. And I said, sure, why not? And realized he wasn't joking. And then like, just because we started doing it, I was like, oh, this is actually cool. Like it's dope. Like, why not? Let's go.
I mean, personally, I always wanted to have one of these bands. Like it was always on the list because I grew up listening to this stuff because my mom loves it. And so grew up listening to it. They're like New York Irish, you know, I can't tell you, like my dad knows the words to all these and he grew up German. Like it has you know, once you start listening to it, and if you like it, it's very niche. So, like, you either love it or you hate it. There's no middle ground. And so I always wanted to do this. And then they asked me in very late. I was, like, the last person to join. They'd been already rehearsing a bunch. And I was like, let's go. And so now, and then flip it a few years in the future. Now Diego and I are doing all the singing, and we're forcing the other guys to do four-part harmony. And, you know, that's not on the album because we couldn't do it when we recorded the album. honestly, we can't really do it right now, but we're working on it. But like, I always wanted one. So when we came in and they were down, it was kind of like, I have this pool of guys.
Yeah, man, you lucked out. You hit the gold mine with that.
For sure.
Damn,
for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So all right, so where do you guys want to go now that you've built this big Irish monster that you got? You
know? Dublin.
That could be the answer.
Yeah, I've got this little pipe dream because in Dublin, they love like country music, American country music, Ireland.
So fun.
Sure.
From what I hear. So I've got this idea because we all came from different bands and we're self-taught in Irish music, I have this goal of like just taking our same band, putting together a 3-hour bar set and just going to Ireland and just touring Ireland doing bar tunes and then learning what we can like while we're there.
Yeah.
So like that'd be cool. Realistically, I've told these guys before though that like, you know, you guys can be in the band or not be in the band or leave the band and come back to the band, but I'm gonna run this shit for the next like 30 years. Because now that we've got it going, it's not going anywhere. Gigs will come and go, but this is gonna exist.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man.
It's ultimately too fun.
So for Peter, it's a pipe dream. It's like, yo, I gotta have one of these bands someday. Like, once it's built, I'm just gonna take it and ride it, you know, whatever that means. And Diego is just lucky enough to like just be hanging out with some dudes and be like, want to play Irish? And he's like, yeah sure.
Why not?
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Have y'all ever attempted to put the stuff that y'all play to like a regular band format?
You mean like with drum kit and stuff?
Yeah.
This is going to sound dumb as a professional drummer. I hate drum kit with Irish music. I mean, I like some Flogging Molly. I like some Dropkick Murphy. But like in general, when there's drum kit with this Irish stuff, I'm like over it. I don't care. You know, I don't want it.
What do you call that? Like some form of Irish rock?
Kind of Celt rock. Kelt rock.
Yeah. I mean, they're its own thing, kind of.
It is.
It's evolved to its own separate genre at this point. Yeah. You know, which 100%. Is great for us because I agree with Pete. I can't stand it. Like even.
But would you guys play shows with the Boston hardcore scene? Like whatever, Dropkick Murphys those guys.
No disrespect to them. What they're doing, they're doing at a high level. And like, you because know, I've Tessie, seen that. Love that song.
I've seen the folk stuff as the opener for. Hardcore band, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful set.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I would go to a Dropkick Murphys show in a heartbeat. I just don't want to gig it. No hate. And like anything anyone can do to make this music survive, right? I mean, technically, they're still a folk band, right? It's Celt Rock. It's its own thing. But they're taking these songs from way back when and keeping them relevant. And so you can't hate on that. And also just they created like the underground scene in Boston and how they like just played all these basement dive bars and like created this epic environment for their fans. Like that's how they got big. It wasn't necessarily the quality of their music. It was the vibe and the lifestyle that they were kind of bringing to it,
Boston hardcore is probably my favorite hardcore scene, and I'm from DC. So of course I'm a DC hardcore guy. Yeah, but the Boston scene by itself, I cannot agree with you more. It was completely grassroots, completely hand built, and it will never ever die because of the roots that it comes from. So
yeah,
cheers. You considered a to Boston the Boston hardcore scene.
Us? No way. God, no.
Boston's a ska, man. They were hardcore. Yeah. They were actually, Boston's was a hardcore band, yeah, but they kind of got the ska itch and kind of ran with it and blew up with it. But are they Boston? Tez? Boston's?
I mean, with a name like the Boston's.
I mean, it kind of lends itself.
You think, yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
Jay's going to Google it. I saw it in his face.
Yeah, Jay, get the fact checker on it.
Are the Mighty Mighty Bosstones a Boston hardcore band?
Watch them. I saw it in his face, man. They're going to be from like Missouri or something.
They are from Boston.
Good. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, thank God.
They are from Boston.
Cool. Cool. All right, so we're good.
By the way, Idaho.
From Potato, Idaho.
All right, so basically, the your guys' wants and needs are you want to go to Dublin and really live the true life and master the craft, and then from there, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Like, bring it back, keep it going, just keep doing it. Like, there's a market for it. Baltimore used to be a big Irish hub, you know, is the first Catholic diocese in the nation. And therefore, it's the biggest one. And, you know, Irish Catholic, yada, yada, yada. And there just used to be a higher Catholic population that has since fucked off. But there's still a pretty vibrant Irish trad scene. Like, Billy McComiskey lives here, and he, like, reinvented the way the Irish accordion is played, the button accordion. And, like, there's a bond between the Baltimore Irish music scene and the New York Irish scene, which is obviously much bigger. But
East Coast, man. Yeah.
But, you know, like, I've always loved how Baltimore is located. You know, you can gig in Annapolis, Baltimore, D.C., Philly, Frederick. New York's not really that far. Like, you got options here, and I think it'll be a great home base. We'll see where we go. We're just starting to look at festivals and getting into that circuit. But, you know, I think we do what we want to do well, and hopefully other people will agree.
Do you guys have any haunts that, like, you frequent now? Like, you guys have, you know, like, regular bar gigs or something.
So monthly we are at the Black Locust Hops Brewery every month. We have a residency there, and if you guys haven't heard of them, you should talk to them, because they are very invested in live music. They're like,
really?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're Lisa and Che, who run the place. They love the music scene, and they love the people they're working with, and they brew their beer there, and they just built a big ass stage. They're looking at getting a sound system in. They're getting some great bands up and in there, and I cannot give enough love up there. Like, they treat everybody right, and they make some really good fucking beer. So
I like the name, man. Black Locust.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
That's the place you told me is in Westminster, right?
No, it's further. It's like Freeland, Maryland. It's just before the PA border.
Yeah, I know what Freeland is.
Yeah, and they are awesome. I cannot rep them enough. I mean, we'll be at New Deal Cafe this Friday. We go there 3 times a year. A lot of places play there. They're like one of the only places where a tipping only bar works, because they aggressively force the audience to tip. And and they're good. They know how to take care of their people, which is great.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah. You're not wrong. They got tip jars on every table.
Come to that show on Friday, and you'll just see. It's just like every time the set's done, like, somebody from that place gets up and goes, don't forget that they are playing for tips. Make sure you tip. And it's just like,
they got a tip jar on every table. They're like, you can do it digitally. Like, it doesn't have to be cash. Like, we got it taken care of. You guys, have you tipped? Do you like the way the band sounds? Because they're not coming back if you don't fucking pay them. Like,
they're
crazy aggressive about it. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. So those are the big two. I don't know if he
finished saying it, because he just got so excited about Black Locust, but we have a monthly residency there. So we play there on I think right now it's the second Friday of every month.
Next year it will be in 2024 it will be the last Saturday of every month.
Yeah.
Ooh, the big show.
Yeah,
the last Saturday of the month. That's big.
Yeah. So yeah, that place is great for us. What's that?
I'm looking at. Oh no, Halloween's on a Tuesday. So
next year, Tez, 2024. We got a few months.
Although, you know,
before they play the big show,
Halloween comes out of the Celtic holiday of Samhain, so it is actually an Irish holiday.
That's why we're playing on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Here comes Peter with the knowledge.
I got
here
facts. Comes. You going to Google that?
With his
you
want to Google that, Jay? Facts. No. We're into that.
I trust you. It's Diego you said not to trust.
That's true.
He's okay. The one on
one of us always tells lies. The truth, and the other one always tells a lie.
Dude, well,
Dan, before you get into your question, because I want to ask this way back. Okay. The Renfest, is that are y'all done? Are y'all going to play it again before it closes?
We're done for when it closes. This was our first year. They were kind of like auditioning us, and I think it went really well. They talked about having us back next year. It might become a yearly thing for us. I would play there every year if they'll
absolutely
have us.
Dude.
Yeah,
please, yeah, no. Dude. Yeah,
it was a fantastic experience.
Great gig. Yeah, that's a great gig.
That's cool. That's cool.
I mean, it's a lot. You roll in at like 9 a.m. before the crowds get there because the audience gets there at 9:00. They're not allowed in till 10. They just tailgate in the parking lot.
Hell yeah.
Get sloshed. Then they come in.
Dude, really?
And, yeah,
it's a lifestyle.
There were people there. We played from like the beginning of September, first weekend of September, and then we just played again here. And there were people there who have been going every weekend the entire time through.
Season what? Tickets, bro.
Season tickets.
Every
to the Renfest, bro.
And you know what? Yeah. I can't hate it. And there were also TikTok famous people. Allie the Piper, I saw her there. And she's
Allie
very
the Piper
famous.
Was there?
Yeah, yeah.
She's awesome.
And the dude, the whip guy was there. Jacques.
Oh, yeah.
Jacques the Whipper. Jacques the Ripper.
I got to see, was it Puke and Snot? The comedy duo, Puke and Snot,
they're famous, man. They're there every year.
Apparently, Maryland's Ren Faire is the biggest, if not the second biggest, tied with like Texas in the States.
Wow.
Like, it's the biggest deal. So
I actually didn't know that.
That's cool.
I mean, that's just what everybody told me when I told them we booked Ren Faire.
There is this girl that comes there every year to the Maryland one. And if she ever hears this, I'm thinking of you. There's this Day of the Dead girl, the Dia de la Muerta girl. Yo, this girl is so hot, man. Like, Jesus. Every single year, I'm just like,
if you see this,
oh my God.
I never stop thinking of you.
There she is, you know, like, I've never even have talked to her. I've just, like, stood next to her. It's like a creeper, you know, and just been like, oh, she's right there. Man. You ask my wife, she'll tell you the same. Yeah, like that girl, Tez, bro. Mm. The Day of the Dead girl.
I was too busy freaking out.
You're busy having a panic attack.
It's
a lot.
Because
there's
2,000 people trying to get a turkey leg or whatever, you know? Like,
it is, man.
You got to stay out of that line. That line gets real long.
Dude.
I had a beer. I had a turkey leg. And the only thing I really went to go see, I wanted a beer, wanted the turkey leg, I wanted a cheesecake on a stick, and I wanted to see the jousting.
Got
to
get some food on a stick.
Yeah,
dude,
that's classic Ren Faire.
That's the quintessential experience.
Must do a couple years of that, and then you realize it's
you forgot
just
to
like
see
a
the Pilgrims of Deep
thing.
Run on stage. Like that's also
I only got two. You guys went there last year. Honestly,
lack of preparedness on your part does not constitute an emergency on
you
mine.
Gotta, yeah, you got a pregame, Tez, swear to me, that next year we'll go together, man. Come with me next year, bro. I promise.
You should give it a second shot.
A slosh, bro.
Tez, honestly,
sure.
I am with you 100%. Like, I feel the same way when I go, like as a patron, but like, part of it was that I was not doing the right things, right? Because we got to be there for so long, I got to like experience everything. For me, and you might feel this way, if you just like sit down and park at the pubs and just like listen to the music, it's dope.
True. It's kind of like just sitting at a bar.
For sure, man. You got to do it right, Tez. Yeah.
All right.
You got to find
going.
Your thing to
next
do.
Year, bro.
You come,
like, we're
next
going.
Year, if,
we're
if
going.
They book us again, we'll take care of you.
We got homies there now, too.
Get you a spot. We'll post you up. And we'll yell
Aaron
at anyone who walks
near
you from the stage. Hey, 5 feet from that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay, you should come down. Jay, bring your ass down home. Let's go to the Ren Faire next year, man. 2024.
Yeah, we're all trying. Arian grew up going to like Ren Faire in Europe, which are apparently just like next level. And
I'm sure.
So she's got like a whole giant, you know, the big ass Tupperwares that have like wheels.
Oh,
she's got
one full
of like Ren Faire.
Hell yeah.
And
good.
So she dresses up every
year.
She got me into dressing up. And it was
loaded to these guys. Yeah.
But dude, I'll tell you, the last few years that we went, it was like we took the kids, obviously, but like Dude, pushing a stroller around Renfest is...
Nah.
Yeah, nah. You gotta need the big wheels, especially if a little bit of mud hits, you're done.
Wait until they can walk and like not die, you know, then you're
and not, want to spend the entire time at that pirate ship jungle gym.
Yeah, that's
not
good.
Oh man, I kind of want to go spend the entire time at a pirate ship jungle gym.
No, you don't, man. No, you don't.
An adult sized one? Yes, I do.
Are you sure?
All right.
Let me tell you something. When you got two kids, look, I'm hobbit sized, all right? And my kids are hobbit sized. And when they're running around a jungle gym with 80,000 kids who are not paying attention to their surroundings, all you do for the entire time you're there is think about every single way that they can like fall and break their neck. Like that's the only
That's living, bro. You can't helicopter parent, man. Don't helicopter
I'm
that
not
shit.
Helicopter
just, parenting. Just let
I'm
him
just
free,
sitting,
bro. Just let him
look,
free.
I'm not helicopter parenting. I'm sitting back and having a silent panic attack. All right.
On their behalf.
Shit. That's right, what the mushrooms are for.
Get the question off.
All right, well, yeah, I know. That's how you're. Yeah, you're screwed.
You
you're
can
fucked,
take mushrooms.
You know?
I'll just be fucked.
You'd be fucked.
We'll be fucked.
But your kids are getting bigger,
ways.
Jay. It'll be easier next time. You know they are. That's what's good about them. Yeah, they get bigger. All right.
And Killian has no issues with punching somebody in the face.
Yeah.
Jay's kids get bigger.
I mean, kind of. Like it's a scale. It's a scale. It's not a height scale. You know,
they're getting older.
Yeah, relevance scale, man. Relevance. You know, they're getting relevant, those kids.
Yeah, if they keep eating their breakfast and their 11sies and their second
Killian's about to turn Killian's about to turn 3 and he finally fits in 24 months close. So
there you go. See, he's getting there. You see that? He's on his way, man. You know, he'll be in smalls before you know it, bro.
He's scrappy though.
All right, so these questions here are for the pilgrims, yeah? Of course, yeah.
Okay.
So I was kind of nervous about interviewing you guys because I don't know the most about Irish folk music aside from what I know. So I went to a buddy of mine who is indeed an Irish folk musician, yeah. And he helped me out with these questions I'm going to ask you guys.
Wait, is this the lightning round?
I'm a little scared.
This is the Irish lightning round, Jay.
Irish lightning sounds vaguely racist.
Well, fuck it. Let's listen after, man. Like these are my questions, yeah? So let's do it.
All right, hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen. The Irish cover band Lightning Round, yeah?
Prestige. Okay. Worldwide.
All right. First off, are any of them actually Irish?
I am... By descent, I'm half Irish, so
no.
So no. I grew up in Ohio, and I'm the closest to Ireland, and I'm landlocked. So
okay,
no,
Ohio, good. All right, so that's good. So here's some goofy ones. Is the road to Dublin really rocky?
I hope so.
I mean, if you get in as many fights as that guy got in, you're gonna feel some rocks.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It would let me down if it wasn't that way, you know?
It's got at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rocks.
Good answer. Have you ever asked a police officer, where's the crack?
No. We should.
I would definitely do that in Boston.
Then he says, I'll try to get some better questions. So hold on. Now we have to go through this text right here.
I don't know. I like that last one a lot.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so these are like, do you prefer type questions? Okay. Planksty or Bothy Band?
Planksty. Because it's only of those two words that felt at all familiar.
Do you guys know either of those bands or no?
No.
I've listened to Planksty before.
Okay. Flogging Molly or the Pogues?
The Pogues.
The Pogues.
Cheers. Represent.
Yeah. Hey. The Pogues.
To the Pogues.
Anyone
fans
who can
out
fall
there.
Off stage drunk, break their leg, and then just keep singing through with a bottle of whiskey in their lap? It's pretty tough in my book.
Okay.
So Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, exactly. Yeah. Dave Grohl. The Irish Dave Grohl is what they call him, you know.
Okay, ready. Heinz or Bush's baked beans?
Heinz. Don't mess with baked beans.
What? Dude, be careful.
Yeah. So I will abstain, Diego.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes tonight's episode.
We will be deleting everything recorded before this.
Dude, that's a big thing though, because it what you spread
on the toast there. Yeah,
yeah,
toast,
man. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it is. It's a great breakfast. Pete, we need to talk.
Yeah,
we talk.
Heinz,
enough.
Pete. Heinz, bro. Heinz. Do you play any songs in Dadgad?
No.
No, but we should, because we don't have a bass player, so dropping it down would be a lot smarter.
Yeah, it would also just be a new texture to explore.
We do bring two guitars to every gig, so not yet.
My guitar is in Dadgad right now, actually. If Tom had to use it, he would have had to tune it or play it.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Yeah. It'll happen. So, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Just because
that is the traditional Irish tuning.
Yes. It is. I will say that we play a lot of instruments that Ireland kind of stole. We play, you know, fiddle's not Irish. Banjo is African. Wait. Greek.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You guys are going to do great on this.
I can't wait. I'm ready. Go for it. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Cart before
the horse.
What's
the difference between Irish Uilleann pipes or Scottish bagpipes?
Well, Irish Uilleann pipes are a musical instrument.
Sorry. Fuck. Yeah. Shit.
They're a musical instrument, whereas the bagpipes.
The language doesn't make sense the way it's written. Don't worry.
No, yeah. But Uilleann pipes are, so Scottish bagpipes are freaking huge and louder, and Uilleann pipes are pleasant to listen to. That's what I would say the difference.
Right? They are.
Nah. You blow into one and the other you just push.
Well, no, Scottish both of them. So with the bagpipes, you blow into it and you squeeze the bag with your arm. But with Uilleann pipes, you have a foot pedal that pumps the bag up.
Yeah.
And so so there are differences, but the Uilleann pipes are definitely a more mellow and in tune instrument to my ear.
Okay. Damn, they aced that question, Jay. Give them a round of applause just for the answer to that question, because I didn't know. I had no idea what the difference was. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that means you also don't know.
That's good, you guys. That's good. All right. Here's another question. What's the difference between an Irish bouzouki and a Greek bouzouki?
You want to take it, Diego, or should I?
Tuning.
Shit, they know.
It's not just tuning,
It's just tuning. Shit. Yeah. Irish music, you tune it like a mandolin or like a violin. So like G A or G D A E, right? Mm-hmm. But for like the Greek one, the Greek one was so weird. It was so hard for me to learn. Like it was D G B D. I think it was just an open G chord or there was a fourth in there somewhere, but I just remember not being able to make any of the shapes ever work in my head.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Greeks prefer the bowl back bouzoukis to the flat back bouzoukis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tez, do you know what a bouzouki is yet?
Big ass mandolin. Okay.
You don't want to know where my mind went.
No, dude.
I do bouzouki, now.
It's like a bubble shaped mandolin with a long scale neck kind of thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I think so. I can Google it later.
It's like if a sitar and a banjo had a baby. Good luck spelling. Or a sitar and a mandolin had a baby.
Okay. Good. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a hard spelling, too. It's a weird spelling.
Good luck spelling it. You'll have
B-O-Z-O-U-K-I, I think.
B-O-U-Z-O-U-K-I. Something. Yeah. Whatever. Okay, here we go. Have you ever heard of Aslan?
Only in my dreams. Aslan. Isn't that like a lion in Narnia or something?
You guys are very, very good. That is an actual character, yes. But it's also a Dublin band that was that almost beat out U2.
Right. I mean,
which is like
probably should have, because I've never forgiven them for downloading an album to my phone without my consent.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're on a big screw U2 kick here on this show.
We're amongst good people.
Yeah,
we're allies for sure.
Aslan.
Aslan. Like Aslan. I think it's more of a Aslan.
Yeah, A-S-L-A-N, yeah. But Aslan.
Careful if you type it into Google. Yeah, spell it correctly.
Yeah, don't type Aslan, Tez. If you Google Aslan, it's going to be some way different going on. You know? For sure.
Well, I hope so.
Make sure you use that in private tab.
All right. Oh, man, here's a deep one. Let's see if you guys know this. Who do you prefer singing? Ronnie Drew or Luke Kelly?
Luke Kelly.
In a heartbeat.
And what band?
Irish Rovers.
Dubliners.
And the Dubliners. Yeah. He was both. He sang with both of those guys.
Did he sing with both of them?
He was very incestuous. He was with he was the man. He sang with everybody.
He was the man.
Who could get Luke Kelly to sing with them, he sang with.
Yeah. He's the man. So this episode surprises me more and more because, like, clearly these two guys aren't Irish, but they, like, aced the test.
They know their shit.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they know their shit. Okay, one more question. Have you ever heard of Dylan Walsh?
Ugh, I hate to disappoint, but that is not ringing any bells.
Well, that is the gentleman that sent me these questions. And he is an Irish folk singer himself, but he's from Ireland, but he sings Americana. He does like blues Americana music. So he's actually a country boy from Ireland, like you were mentioning earlier.
So between us all, we're all frauds. We could do country authentically, and we don't.
Yeah, I'm good buds with him, man. He fell in love with a friend of mine, and they got married, and she brought him here. And they lived in Nashville for a long time. And actually, they just recently moved from Nashville, Tennessee, to Asheville, North Carolina, to get into that more Blue Ridge Mountain scene. So he's a very, very good dude. So thank you to Dylan for these questions for the night.
So we have to get into the song real quick. But before we do, when I went to go meet Peter, he whipped out this instrument that I have never seen before. And it literally looks like a giant tambourine without the little cymbals on it. What is it called?
That is a good
again?
Way to describe it.
So it's called a Bowron or a Boron. And I haven't been to Ireland yet, and the language doesn't make sense. So, but it's spelled Bodhran, and most of those are just for fun. You don't say them. And
you forgot the little accents that you have to put in too.
I don't even know where they go myself. But yeah, it's a cool thing. Let's see. It's just a frame drum. Every culture has a frame drum. Like that's one of the coolest things about drums is like in every culture, the first instrument is the voice. The second instrument is some kind of drum. And a lot of them do frame drums. But what's weird about this one is you play it sideways with glancing blows. And let me know how this sounds, Jay, so I don't mess up your system.
Thank you, Dublin. You might get the whole 38 seconds for that one.
It's like 38 seconds, bro. Suck it in, man. This is your night.
This is my moment.
This is it.
This is going to get me through the next year of silent crowds.
The joint is so dope, man.
It's a cool instrument. It's very weird. And so you bend the pitch with your left hand, which is really fun. So you can get a lot. And depending on the make of the drum, you can get more notes. But
yeah, dude. It's what I always do. Because I always do that with your floor tom, man, where I put my elbow on it and start knocking on it and dragging my elbow across it. It's the best sound ever, man. Like,
and that's exactly what this is. That's all it is.
It is so much fun to play. Cool. Like, if you ever get a chance, just go fuck around with one, like at a store or something. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel like almost like a music class with you guys. Because everything is so, like, technical. And you can't really, like, like in a regular band, you know, you got your guitar player, you got your singer, you got your drummer, whoop de woo, whatever. But in your band, you got like the, you know, the flute player, the violin player, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like your normal shit, man. It's so cool.
It's fun, man. It's so yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's super fun.
No, it's weird. And like it is technical, but it's also
folk. Educated on your stuff, man. Like that's dope. That's pretty dope. Like,
yeah.
You're not just out here selling wolf tickets. Like, you guys know your shit, man.
Thanks. Yeah, well, we got hooked on it. You know, when you love it, it's not work, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
For sure. Cheers to that.
It also depends on the people you're with, because it can still be work, bro. Like,
yeah.
It can still
yeah,
be
these
work.
Guys are all right.
So
100%. But, you know, it also just goes back to what the... kind of like what the group kind of means to us. It got us through the pandemic, you know, like that, the bond from just going through all that together. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just makes it makes you want to do it, you know?
True.
Yeah.
True.
And so like, I've you want to do it right. Yeah.
It's Band of Brothers, man. It's been my thing for a long time, man. It's Band of Brothers. You can always build a band, you know what I mean? But it's the relationship that you guys have with each other.
For sure. Yeah. Our guy's getting married next year, and I had to turn down a festival gig because we're all in the wedding. I was like, sorry, we're very busy that day.
Yeah.
We're going to be way too hammered to play.
You guys should do a set. Yeah, do a set, man. Like, break out some little fiddles and do a set.
Actually, I think we are. I was talking to him the other day. He's like, would you guys mind bringing your stuff down? And I was like, not at all. Let's go.
Yeah, oh, man. Like,
and the night with Rattling Bog or something. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And that goes back
I'd be
to
upset
my
if we
point.
Didn't do that.
Seriously.
Hell yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have to.
Exactly.
Like, you got your equipment.
Yeah.
You can just load up anytime and just throw, you know, put it in the car and roll out. Like, you don't have to pack an amp.
My man, like going from a drum set to this one drum.
Right.
I felt like a trumpet player.
Guitar, pedals, like amp to just this
know,
little
man.
Guy. Like,
God, man.
So easy.
Dude.
Of course, then I had to buy a PA, so now I have a car full of shit again.
You just had the thing tucked away. Like, you didn't. Come on, Diego. You playing around, dude. Like,
yeah, what? You should put something out. You
now
it out,
you have
bro.
To play.
If you whip it out, you should play a little something.
What are you going to play? Yeah. You going to play like the Blarney Pilgrim?
Bless this.
It's still in tune.
Give us a little ditty.
Play a burner. Play a burner.
No, it's still in tune.
No way.
Good.
Yeah, it's still in tune. This instrument
not
is
when
notorious.
I play it.
Oh, that's because you play it badly, Pete. So this instrument, it's a mandolin, right? This thing, I can never keep it in tune, right? And part of it, I've been told by a tech, is that I have overly acidic sweat, which is a very interesting fact about myself. I'm constantly breaking strings on stage.
No, it's an excuse, bud. That's what that is. That's an excuse. The acidic sweat. That's a fucking excuse from the guitar from the tech, bro. Like,
no, I'm
for sure.
Sure it is. Like,
but party on.
Yeah, but
party on
but anyway.
with your acidic sweat.
So I just keep breaking strings, and so I'm just geeking out with Pete right now about the fact that I bought a new brand or whatever.
They
and,
made it
like,
through a whole gig.
Yeah, they made it through a whole weekend of gigs.
That's true.
Yeah,
we'll see if they can do another one this weekend.
And normally I break like 3 strings a gig. Like I'm like constantly like changing them. It sucks. Yeah. But anyway, Pete, give me something.
How many strings on that bad boy?
8.
Four sets pitches.
Of 2.
Only 4 pitches though.
Yeah. So 2 strings. Two
the
strings,
same
two
tuning
strings.
As a violin. There you go.
Like 10 minutes.
Nice. My button.
Yeah, your fingers were moving.
Dude, I'm so stoked you guys brought gear because the thing I really wanted to say about this band is like, we can listen to their track, Jay, of course, But this is the kind of band that you should kind of see live, you know, this is that style of music, man. Like you can't really put a, I mean, you can record in some bomb studio with really good acoustics and, you know, get some top notch engineer to make it sound amazing, of course. But, you know, the vibe is,
It's definitely live. Yeah.
The pub.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's the pub.
Yeah, you need the crowd. Yeah. And we did. This was, we recorded it live at the Music Space in Towson with Justin Levy. And we packed the room with a crowd, but they ended up treating it more like a listening room instead of a pub. So they weren't quite as rowdy as we wanted them to be.
Yeah.
But, I think we're going to listen to Mershon Durkin and on that one, I was playing Tin Whistle on the intro, and I biffed it real hard. And so I was laughing. The band was giving me shit. My wife was in the crowd. Like I was like, hold on. And
that's another thing about this music. It's like encouraged to give each other
mess
shit.
Up. Oh,
about
yeah, it. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. If you mess up, you got
to
hear it.
Yeah, man. so I turned around real quick, and I played it to myself, and my wife yells from the crowd, "We can still hear you." And I was like, shut the fuck up. So then I come in and I play it and because everyone was giving me so much shit, I took it real fast. And I was like,
go even faster.
It was really funny. And so as I'm playing it, Diego turns to me, he's like, cause he was singing it, and he's like, "Do you hate me?"
No, it wasn't even that. I looked at him in the eye while he was playing. I was like, "I hate you."
That's what it was. And I laughed. And because on these whistles, you know, like if you blow too hard, you go from a low octave. And if you blow a little harder, you jump the octave. And and so I'm playing and he makes me laugh and I chirp the hell out of a note. And it's on the recording because it's supposed to be. Let's see if I can do it with that. It's supposed to be like. And like I'm playing it, and I'm like, and he looks at me and goes, "I hate you." And I went like, I chirped the hell out of one of the notes, and it's on the recording, so you'll hear it. It's just a total biff. But every time I hear it, I just remember Diego locking eyes with me and being like, "I hate you."
That's awesome,
from the days,
man.
I went back, oh, Dan, I never did Tyra's order from the nail house to a playhouse. It's going so fast.
So when you hear it, you'll just see how many words I have to spit out. It's just it's kind of insane. Like these, they're so wordy sometimes, especially
these super fun ones. Man.
Yeah, right. And so I'm just like, I'm just sitting there like, Pete, what the fuck, bro? Like, you know how hard it is to sing this song? No, it's great.
Yeah.
Yo, Diego looked like he was ready to go. He was ready, dude.
I know.
I was gearing up for it too. I was like, oh shit,
I'm here for it.
They're gonna go.
Once you hear someone, it's like, let's just do the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got to bring 937 to a live show, dude. Because that was
for sure. This is that kind of band.
That'd be
great. I'm glad y'all brought the live instruments, man. First of all, you were the first guest to do anything live on here.
Oh man.
I'm lying. when we had Denise, she sang live.
Oh yeah. What the hell, dude? That
she
voice.
She was a female
vocalist,
but. Live
she was one of your first ones, right? I was looking through. It was an earlier hit.
Sheesh, dude. She can go, bro. Like, Denise
but
can go
guys,
forever.
Man, I appreciate what y'all brought to the table, man. Just difference all the way around, man.
Easy to ship, Tez. You
cool,
heard it from
dude.
These guys first, yeah? When all you got to bring is one little fucking thing, man.
Oh,
like,
I can
you
fit
know,
that whistle in my drum bag. I'm good to go, man.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, it's great.
I'm trying to think of who the hell... Could we get? We have to get Jesus himself to like literally turn water into wine in our face to beat something so original of what y'all got going on.
And it's all covers.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, right. And we're a cover band. We didn't make any of this shit up.
Yeah, it's all covers. Yeah, there's nothing original about it at all.
But there's not. I haven't found it. I've found anyone else around Baltimore doing what we're doing. Like there are people doing just Irish trad. There are people doing Celt rock, like Gaelic Mishap. You know, and there's plenty of Irish traditional stuff. But no one's doing the pub songs, and no one's playing the trad you know, as fast as we do or with the arrangements that we do. And and that's kind of what's fun for it for us. Like, it's like we're doing it. We're doing something we didn't make, but we're doing it our way.
It's cool, man. Very cool.
I just want, when we do come see y'all live, I want an Irish folk version of 50 Cent's In the Club.
It's funny you should mention that.
Yeah, you tell them that story.
We were playing down in Baltimore in Harbor East, and we were playing, and this dude walks in, and he's gone, man, but he was like vibing us, you know, and he walks up, he's like, can you play Young something? It was no one I'd ever heard of, and I was like, do we look like we can play Young whoever that is? And he's like, if you do it, I'll tip you $100. And I was like, all right, pull it up on your phone. So he pulls it up, and the words are mostly that one word I'm not allowed to say. And I was like, I'm not singing this, you know? And so it was a hip hop track, you know? And it was just looped on it was like a descending, like, boom, 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 boom. And I remember what the track was. And I turned to my fiddle player and I was like, you got the notes? He's like, yeah. And I turned to the guitar. I was like, you got a key? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I'll just make up some shit on this drum. And so we did it. And we didn't say a single word because none of us are allowed to say any of the words that were in that track. And we played, I don't know, 30 seconds. We just vibed on it. And he was losing his mind and he was recording us. And he's like, give me your Cash App. And I was like, dude, that wasn't worth $100. He's like, I'm a man of my word. And he paid it.
That's cool. That's fucking cool, man.
Hip hop Irish folk band, man. Yeah. You heard it here first,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, come yeah, out and yeah. And you probably won't get that unless you
Fafo, dude. You know, fuck around and find out, man.
For sure.
Cool. That shit goes hella hard, dude. Hella hard, man.
I got one question. I have one question. I did some digging around the internet as I do.
Okay.
And I noticed that you guys aren't on any streaming services. Like, that's you're true. Not on Apple Music, you're not on YouTube Music, you're not on Spotify. Why?
So the real reason is we just recorded the track you're about to hear is just off the album we just recorded this past St. Patrick's Day season. So it just finished getting mixed in time to have a CD for Renfest, you know. And so we got it, we put it on Bandcamp, we got hard copy CDs, and right now it's like if you see us live, you get an album, you know. That's how it is. And then the other day Diego actually was yelling at me. Because he was like, you need to release this shit so it's everywhere. And I was like, let's wait for the winter. And, you know, like, we're just real busy gigging right now. So it's coming. It's coming out. It's going to be, we haven't picked a date yet, but probably next month, right? Like, we were just waiting for the gig season to slow down to put it out there and then hopefully build the hype. And, you know, part of it is also because those streaming sites don't pay shit. You know, so, you know, like we could put it out there and then everyone can hear us for free and it's great exposure bucks. But, you know, I can't wait to get my check for 35 cents from Apple in 5 years.
So, you think it's going to be 35? You're so optimistic, bro.
I know. So part of it is like, hey, thanks for coming out. You have access to us. You know, you can take us home. Man. And part of it's fuck you streaming, because like they definitely don't take care of you. But it's on Bandcamp, you know, and we got some stuff on YouTube. We got more coming out. The whole album we're about to hear, thank God you mentioned this, we also recorded it with video. So we got video and audio of that whole thing.
Cool.
We're going to be releasing it on our YouTube channel occasionally, and by that I mean definitely not based on my laziness, definitely with a plan and with intent behind it, the whole campaign. It won't be based on my time, but yeah, so we have video coming out of pretty much all of what this album, which is called The Pilgrims of Deep Run, live at the Music Space, which is a super creative title as well. Mm-hmm. it's just, you know what you're getting. We're all about transparency here. Yeah.
So. To the point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your music speaks for itself, man. Okay?
Thanks, man. Yeah. That's what we're good at, the music, not so much the talking.
but I tried to look you guys up on Apple Music and you didn't come up, and I was like, ah, screw these guys, huh? These Irish bums.
That's true.
They're not even on Apple Music yet. Like, you know, how do I take them seriously?
These jokes,
you know, like,
yeah.
honestly. Yeah. You know.
But if you're hankering for it and you want to hear it before we get it out, you can hit us up on pilgrimsofdeeprun.com. You can get the album off Bandcamp for $15, I think.
Yeah, that's 15.
Cool.
$12 if you get it at a show. Just saying.
Look at this. Yeah, look at the savings. There you go. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Man. Plug your shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's what's up. Dude. I dig
like
that,
we were,
man.
It's like we were saying earlier. Live is the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other reason is that even like when you listen to the greats do it, you know, the Clancy Brothers, the Irish Rovers, the Wolf Tones, like when you listen to these guys do it, it's great. But like if you've ever been to a show, I've been to 2 Irish Rovers shows in my life, and the vibe is so different live. Like you can't capture it. So recording just wasn't a super big priority. Because it's about being there in the environment. Like the audience makes
this is
the
a pub band, man, doing pub songs.
Exactly.
So I completely dig it, man.
Yeah.
Cheers. So, I mean, y'all gotta be fans of other people, or have you just saturated yourself with your style that you don't really pay attention to the other genres or whatever?
You mean local acts or like the greats of all time?
I mean,
we're pulling everything. Diego's favorite band is, I won't even say it. He can say it.
At the drive-in. No, say at the drive-in.
It's not at the drive-in.
Damn it.
So no, actually, like my favorite band, like it's not even related to this music. You know, if we're like, because that's what you're asking, right, Tez? Like, if we even listen to anything else?
Unrelated.
Yeah.
I thought you were thinking in the style. I was going to say the High Kings for Diego because he loves them.
For this style, the High Kings.
Okay,
but, like,
out of this style. Oh my God.
Because we come from outside of it, right? So it's like we it's not just the Irish stuff that we're listening to. Like my favorite band to this, like contemporarily, is Walk the Moon, right? And like, but I'm also playing in like a fusion band at all times, and like just doing the wedding band cover shit. So it's like, you know, you end up doing everything, even though
you have to
still listen to everything.
Yeah, my favorite bands Muse and Cake and Queen, you know, like. My favorite drummers are Carter Beauford and Dennis Chambers, you know, and Bernard Purdy. Like, I mean, like, how are you gonna just pick some shit? Like,
Carter Beauford is
untouchable.
Master, but doesn't even suit that fellow.
Right?
Dude is out of this world when it comes to drums.
He's prodigal, like, man.
Dude, his offbeat, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that left hand, for him, right hand syncopation, lefty mother.
Yeah, he's a crap. He's a master of his crap.
Yeah, so I guess you could say that our interest in all of those bands, like, that we actually listen to, have a huge effect on how we play trad, because, like, I don't know this for sure, but I would assume most trad players would not love what we do because we definitely give it more form, like in the tradition. It's kind of like jazz, you know. You play the A section twice, you play the B section twice, then you play the A section twice and the B section twice, and then after that you play the A section twice and the B section twice, and you're done, you know. And we're like and we're over here being like, oh, let's do one A, let's have the fiddle and enter on the B section, then we'll all come in tight on the A, we'll drop out again on the B, it'll be just fiddle and guitar. That way when we come back in, we can filter in and we'll build it. Then we'll do a hard stop and we'll punch into the next song. You know, like, and we're like,
you do Metallica mixes on Irish folk songs, man. That's totally what you're doing. Yeah, that's totally what you're doing. So look, I listened to your record, the whole thing. And I played it with my wife, who's Irish. Yeah. Not born in Ireland, but Irish descent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I first put it on, she was like, what the fuck is this shit that you're playing me? What is this shit that you're playing for me, man? What is this? Like, ah. But like, as the record went on, she was like, all right, man, like these guys kind of know what they're doing a little bit, you know, like you sold yourselves to her just through listening to the live set. So there's a, for a Diego and a Peter, man, there's something to be said for that, you know, like, like you're not pure bloods, man, but you clearly know your stuff.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yeah, yeah. For a couple of half bloods, we ain't bad, you know.
Yeah, man. For sure.
Yeah.
Musicians, dude. Musicians.
Yeah, real musicians, man. Real musicians. Yeah. But Diego, you got to get into At the Drive-In and the Mars Volta And like you have to listen to that shit, bro. Please, for me.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, spin it. All right, and just get into Omar, man. What Omar does is like as a string player. Like
I was gonna say, these are names I definitely have heard, but I'm a drummer, so.
Shit, the drums are nuts too, man. Yeah. It's jazz and it's prog and it's punk and it's all just beautiful stuff all mixed together. So
yeah,
that's what I got from it.
You'd dig Mars Volta.
Oh, for sure.
Mars Volta.
Yeah.
But At the Drive-In was the start. That's the original shit. You gotta get into that first, right?
Jay, you know
where I'm coming from. Jay, you're
one arm scissor, man.
Yeah, dude. Like like that record is just like.
No, thank you, bro. I'm always looking for a new rabbit hole. I mean it. So
check it out.
I'm excited.
Cool.
So I don't know because I stepped away a couple times. So the song that we're gonna hear is the first song on the album, right? It's the first joint you're gonna play, Jay, right?
Yep.
Did y'all get into the writing of it? Who wrote it? Who whatever? How
did
it go?
Oh man, that song has existed for centuries. That song,
is it?
Yeah, man. That song.
Is it a cover joint?
Yeah, all of it's a cover,
dude.
Man.
The whole band. Record, man.
We're gonna start. All right, let's start this podcast over. All right, so we're the Pilgrims of Deep Run, and we're an Irish cover band. Like, yeah, like we didn't actually write any of this. We arranged it, like, for Mershon Dirk, and we took it, and, like, we were looking at the lyrics. Like, there's this line where it's like, the next time that you'll hear from me, it'll be letters from New York. And we were like, okay, they're telling a story. Like I said, we're going way too into it. So now, so then we play two trad tunes, two polkas, Diego?
Two polkas, yeah.
Jessica's into John Ryan's.
John Ryan's into Jessica's.
John Ryan's polka into Jessica's polka. And we were like, in our heads, we were like, this is the ship traveling across the ocean to get to New York, you know? So it'll be like, the next time that you hear from me, be letters from New York. And goes into it. And then we go into another trad tune. And then that's like them getting to America. And then the ship docks. And it's like, goodbye to all the girls at home, or whatever. That's the wrong verse. Diego sings that one. Is it? I'm sailing far across the foam to make my fortune in far America. Diego sings that one. I just sing the chorus. But, and so then that was that. And then we finish out the tune and we hup it and we're done. So we didn't write anything. We just arranged it. We just learned a bunch of music and we're like, this would be cool here. And then it's our version. No one else, I don't think, has ever put those two tunes inside of Mershon Dirk. That didn't sound right.
Indeed. Or did it? Yeah. Or did it? Yeah. I mean, did it sound right?
We talked about it beforehand and she was cool with it. So. Yeah, but like, I don't think anyone else has put those songs inside of that song. So it's our version. But that song is so old. Like, and all the songs on this album are centuries old.
Like,
you know,
hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't write anything.
Man, y'all have taught me some shit, dude. Like, I'm dead ass. Like, y'all tonight just realizing, even listening to the record. Y'all made my job fun. you did, man.
That's the hope. I mean, we have fun doing it, right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's why we do it. It's just so much fun. We just have to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn, man. Kudos to
y'all, man. Cool, man.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, dude. Jay, hit the sound buttons for these guys one more time.
The only thing I want to mention is
that
I'm Pete Krichnit. This is Diego Ratana. The other two guys who aren't here, but they are very much the Pilgrims, are Basil Marinenko on fiddle and Todd Sheeler on guitar. Todd has his own classical album out under the name Pergola. It's incredible. You should check that out. And then he's not a Pilgrim anymore, but always in spirit. Nate Royer started the group. He's on banjo on the album, so credit where credit is due. These guys are what made it happen. You know, I just wanted to make sure I got that out there.
Oh, for sure. You got you gotta
shout out to the other Pilgrims. Right. Yeah, to the other Pilgrims out there.
Yeah, all day long, man.
Especially Basil.
Especially Basil. The most Irish of us all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Cool, man.
I appreciate this one. I really do. I say it to everybody, but I really mean it.
Yeah,
this time.
Well, thanks for having us on. This is definitely the first podcast I've ever been a part of. Sorry,
me too,
every
man.
Other
me too,
guest
man. This is the first podcast I've ever been a part of too, man. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
This is where Jay says, I forgot to hit the record button.
Those days are gone. I'm giving you the whole clip this time.
Just sit back, relax.
Enjoy the applause.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was a lot of fun.
You would definitely be back.
I've never heard the end of it.
When you come back, I want an original joint. I want an original track.
Tell you what, next time we do it, we'll do the whole band and we'll just play a track live.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm with you.
I'll set up some room mics
and we'll just do it. Like, yeah, man. It'd be great.
Two or three mics, you're good, yeah. Bro. That's it. That's all you need.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for an excuse to play.
Before we get off, next date.
We're this Friday at the New Deal Cafe, Saturday private party, Sunday in Old Ellicott City at the Little Market Cafe. And then
that's a good venue. That's a cool spot. Yeah, that's a cool spot.
And then every month you can catch us at Black Locust Hops. So
yeah, if we gotta go to Black Locust, get up there.
It's awesome. You will not regret it. Although bring someone who doesn't drink so they can drive your ass home. Because you're not gonna want to stop.
Drive,
I promise.
Bro. Yeah.
Forty minutes, 20 from Timonium, right?
I'm in Ellicott City. Yeah.
Well, then 45 for you, same as me. It's not so bad. It goes by quick.
Dude, I'm in Gaithersburg, yo, Montgomery County. I'm so far.
I'm so far, dude.
You'll see us at New Deal.
Like,
I'm crashing. Down there, I'm crashing.
Yeah, come to New Deal in Greenbelt, dude.
Yeah.
Greenbelt's, yeah.
That's
Greenbelt
Friday, yeah.
That's this Friday.
Yeah.
It's close to Atomic, yeah.
I can go there. Columbus, Ohio. Ohio?
Yeah, Jason, Ohio.
I'm working on Ohio. We're going to be coming out probably for the... I'm working on the Cleveland Irish Fest and Medina, which is still...
Well, you know, Ohio is the closest thing they got to Dublin itself. Yeah, so like
pilgrim's math. You got boy math, girl math.
Cheers, man.
Pilgrim's math.
Oh man, y'all got any last words you want to drop off to the people?
No, just thanks for having us. This has been a blast. You know, we'll see you at a gig. Come say hi and let us know if you heard about us here. You know, then we can. Report back to like how many fans you guys got, you know? or how many fan you guys have, you know, like depending.
Yeah, man.
Really all of our moms. That's about it.
I can't wait to meet your guys' moms.
That's y'all's crowd.
That's our demographic, guys.
For sure. That's it.
Oh my gosh.
Cool.
Jay.
Dan first.
Man, thank you for listening. All is love. Treat each other kind. Remember love. Love is a thing. Peace. That's it.
Everybody, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us 5 stars wherever you're listening from. Come back for the next episode. And with that, this is Mershon Durkin by the Pilgrims at Deep Run. Of Deep Run. Fuck.
Damn, Jay.
I'm just going to play the song now.
In the days I went to courtin', I never did tire resortin' to an alehouse or a playhouse or any house beside. But it told me, brother Seamus, I'd go up and be right famous. No, never would return again till I roamed the world wide. So goodbye, Mershon Durkin, I'm sick and tired of working. No more I'll take the praise and no longer I'll be poor. Sure as my name is Barney, I'll be off to California, where instead of digging praise, I'll be digging lumps of gold. I've courted glories with Barney in Kentuck and Killarney, in Passage and in Queenstown, that is the Cup of Cork. To ride to all me pleasure, I have to get me leisure. The next thing that you hear from me will be letters from New York. Goodbye, Mershon Durkin, I'm sick and tired of working. No more I'll take the praise and no longer I'll be poor. Sure as my name is Barney, I'll be off to California, where instead of digging Brady's, I'll be digging lumps of gold. at home, I'm moving far across the phone to try to make my fortune in far America. There's gold and jewels aplenty for the poor and for the gentry. I never will return again, I never more will say goodbye, Merchant-Durkin. I'm sick and tired of working, no more I'll take the breeze, and no longer I'll be poor. Sure, as my name is Barney, I'll be off to California, where I settled in praise, I'll be taking lots of gold.
Sounds a lot bigger than I remember.
Dude, peace out to the pilgrims, man. I was dancing with my dog on that one, man. That was a good
man. We thank you all for listening. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Support one another. Love one another. And if you don't do anything else, support cystic fibrosis.
Later.
And that's it for this episode. If you want to learn more about the Pilgrims of Deep Run, all of their information will be linked in the show notes, as well as the links to our own social media accounts. So please stop by and say hi, and remember to give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening from. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.